Welcome to Sci-Fi and Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfedcolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as SF in Color.
And today we're talking about episode 2 of Dark Matter.
Yeah, these don't seem to have titles, so...
None of the season 1 episodes have title names. I think someone pointed out that, oh, it's similar to the naming convention on the show, how they're just named 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And I was like, lame, no.
I like that explanation, but I don't think that's, like, legit.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, so Dark Matter.
Interesting time.
We covered episode 1 in our previous episode, so you should check that out if you haven't. I liked this episode more than I liked the first episode.
Me too.
You too?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
This is going to be a hard one for me.
Why?
I may have watched the rest of the season.
Oh my god. See, when I open your Netflix account, I share a Netflix. When I open your Netflix account, I saw that... it was on episode, like, 13 or whatever, and I was like, yo, don't tell me this girl watched the whole thing.
This girl watched the whole thing.
Afterwards, I was, like, debating, do I want to read all the synopsises and whatever about what happens next, or
you should watch it. It's good.
I don't care for this show. I mean, you know, I like this episode more than I liked episode 1, but I just don't care about the show as much as you do.
Like, I watched, episode 2, so today is Saturday, and so I watched episode 2 on Tuesday, and so between now and then, you know, I watched a fair chunk.
Are you having audio issues? Because I hear it getting louder. Yes. And quieter. Okay.
I'm having audio issues.
So, listeners, sorry about that. I don't know how I can fix that in post. But hopefully it's not too much of an issue for you guys. Anyway. Yeah, so I did. I only watched episode 1 and 2. I did not watch the rest of the show, or the season. Although I did, like, read the synopsis for... Or I read, like... I couldn't find, like, any synopsises. So I kind of just read, like, the TV tropes, breakdown, and other stuff. So I kind of have a general sense of what happens.
Yeah, but I don't want to be, like, spoiling the show. Oh, no, I don't want to spoil anything. This is just episode 2. So I'll be very careful, hopefully.
Okay.
But, like, you know, I've seen 12 episodes in the past 5 days, so they all kind of blend together.
Oh, so you didn't finish, like, the last one? Isn't there 13 in total for the first
one? No. Like, I watched episode 1 last week.
I see. And then
I've seen the previous. Gotcha. Yes, I've seen 12 episodes in the previous 5 days or so.
I mean, I'm kind of interested in hearing your thoughts on how you felt about the season as a whole. But episode 2 definitely better than episode 1. I guess if they got all that exposition stupid ish out of the way, so it lent to
episode 1. Episode 1 was the weakest of the entire season.
Okay.
Which is kind of rough.
Yeah. I mean, people were saying that, I mean, based on what I was reading, when I was trying to decide whether I wanted to, I don't know, continue with this series personally, people were saying, yeah, it's one of those series where it, like, starts off kind of weak. You kind of need to slog through it to get to the good stuff that happens later in the season.
Yeah.
But I just didn't care enough to want to continue because...
Yeah,
I don't know.
But, like, if any of our listeners watched episodes 1 and 2 and they thought, you know, this is decent, I highly recommend the rest of the season because it just gets way better and you get, like, a lot more intricacies with the characters and, like, the intrigue and you get all the backstories and, but, like, it doesn't, like, happen all at once. It's a beautiful, slow reveal, which is just so good.
The slowest of slow
burns. It's just, like, never too slow. Like, not like, oh my god, you know, when is this finally going to come out? Yeah. It's just beautiful and slow just as time happens. And it's clearly, like, obviously it's based on the comics. So obviously.
Well, what's interesting is, and maybe I'm getting this wrong, but the comics, or the first comic, or the comic, is only episode 1 and 2.
Interesting.
So I don't know if that's just the comic as a whole is only 1 and 2, or like the first volume or first whatever is 1 and 2.
I would guess that's just the first volume.
But in any case, I don't feel too weird about only seeing episode 1 and 2, because that's kind of how it was presented in the comic book anyway. So I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'm not going to continue. I'm just going to stop here.
Well, regardless, what I really appreciated about the show in general is that it was clearly started with, like, a grand plan in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every, like, little piece of the characters that's revealed is teased early on. It's very well established. And some of the foreshadowing is just seriously brilliant.
You're doing Trump hands.
Oh, my God. I can't do a Trump impression. Sorry.
You just did. Anyway. Poorly. I mean, I'm trying not to spoil. I don't want to spoil anyone, but, like, I find, is it 4? 4's backstory kind of funky? Like,
4's my favorite.
He's a swords guy, right? Swordsman?
Yeah.
But, I mean, his character is kind of cool, but, like, based on what I read about what happens later on, I find that really, like, cliche and weird. Like, it's giving me Firefly, like, weird cultural-ness, Firefly-ness, if that makes any sense. Yeah, although I've only seen episode 1 of Firefly, so maybe that's not fair. But, like, girl, like, when they were talking about, again, I don't want to get into too much spoilery territory.
I can definitely but, like, see when there are moments about, where say, I could see that, but it felt more like,
oh no,
the way that it was
again.
Portrayed, in my opinion, and obviously I don't speak for anyone but myself, it felt more like diversification than, like, tokenization? Does that make sense?
Sorry, listeners, one of us froze, so I had to pause the audio. I think I know what the problem might be, Melissa. I think Google might be logging you in and out of your various accounts. But I don't know.
It's a possibility.
We'll see what happens. We'll hope this doesn't happen again. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get into too much spoilerific territory, but, like, the whole thing with Number 4's backstory and how, like, the culture he comes from seems to be a weird mishmash, and I'm, like, not about that. So, it just, this is based on what I read, not what I saw. I didn't watch the episode. So, maybe my opinion isn't, truly valid, because I didn't see it, but, like, just the way they're describing, like, a costume thing with one of the characters, and how it was, like, a mishmash of, like, different Asian cultures costumes, I was just like, that's weird. Anyway.
I don't know.
It is what it is. So, sorry for being, like, super, like, weird and, like, talking in circles about random stuff that you all haven't seen. Anyway, let's get back to episode 2, and
episode
I'll try to stick with just talking about episode 2. So, I still find the dialogue a little clunky. It was better this episode, but...
You know, for me, episode 2 had a few clunky lines, but after episode 2, I can probably count clunky lines on one hand, maybe just because I got more engaged.
You sound like your voice is going through a vocoder right now.
Really? Because I'm not even touching, like, my hands are off. I'm not touching anything.
It's giving you, like, a Terminator kind of, like, voice effect. It's a little disconcerting.
That's, okay, I don't even know what to do about that then.
I don't know if it's appearing on your audio or not. Anyway, yeah, dialogue was clunky, but I think it was better than it was last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it continues to improve, you know?
Yeah. I really
personally,
don't like
it's so funny because, like, we're at such different places right now.
I mean, like, literally, yes. But
well,
like,
yes, physically, but, like, in terms of, like, knowing what's happening with the show, like...
Yeah, this is what happens when you record late at night on a Saturday.
Oh, I meant, you know, I watched 11 episodes.
Yeah, I'm trying to spoil everyone. Do you need me to give you a quick rundown of what happened in this episode? Would that help kind of orient yourself?
That would help. Okay. I mean, I remember the miners and whatever.
Okay, so, episode 2 is basically the women are on the ship and the men are down planet.
Right, yeah, of course.
And they are delivering the weapons to the miners so they can be, like, the resistance and fight off the incoming mega.
Yeah, I guess I do remember this stuff, yeah.
Okay. So it kind of ends with Two is able to kind of, weird way, set up a contract with, the rival megacorp, and so the planet is saved, kind of, sort of. It's, like, weird.
Yeah, so, like, in a lot of ways, this is the feudalism that we were kind of talking about last week, and it
is
continues...
Is that feudalism? I mean, I guess.
Okay, let me... It's kind of...
It just doesn't feel as feudal as, like, Badlands to me. Like, there's no serfs, there's no, like... She's raising her hand. I know you can't see that.
You can't see the video. But, yeah, I'm raising my hand, so it's my turn. There are basically, I believe, 6 main corporations, and all of them are, like, fighting, and they'll hire different people to, like, do jobs for them and whatever. So I definitely get that, like, it's set up with, like, a few major heads, and, like, they're having, like, little nobodies do their fighting for them. So I do understand that feudalism theme. It's definitely not as feudal as it's the Badlands. Definitely not, because that's much more... You know, grounded, obviously.
Like, literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
But, like, I do see that kind of shining through.
I guess it's space feudalism, I guess.
Space feudalism. It does feel a little bit more like a Western.
Yeah. I mean, that's where the Firefly comparisons come in, right? You know?
Like, these two episodes felt very Western to me. You know, 1 and 2, I mean.
Mm. Yeah, I guess I see that. They're, like, pirates or whatever, the outlaws.
Yeah, and they're, you know, trying to save the day and against, you know, the evil whatever.
Yeah.
But it's very,
I really don't like the title screen. It's just so 90s in the worst possible way. You like the title screen?
I'll give you 90s. I wouldn't say the worst possible way, though I'm not, like, sticking up for it.
It looks like some Animorphs thing. I mean, it's horrible. It's, like,
I'm not sticking up for it. I'm just not saying it's the worst.
And then I think the thing I hate the most about that Dark Matter title screen is, like, the little silhouettes of the people in the background. That's where it kicks it up to, like, 90s, early 2000s awful aestheticness.
It's a little cheesy.
It's too much. And, like, the comic books didn't come out in the 90s, so they have... Or the early 2000s. They came out a couple years ago. So they have no excuse. Yeah, there's just, like, weird stuff with, like... I don't know if I like certain aesthetic choices for this series. Like, all the women have, like, really, really dark eyeshadow. And I don't know if it's because of, like, the color grading.
Space is dark.
Oh, yeah. We had this whole discussion about the last episode about how the spaceship is, like, extremely darkly lit. But, like... They really have dark... They have, like, really dark eyeshadow, and, like, the colors are kind of weird in this show. Like, I don't know how the colors are graded, but they just look very strange. I still love the android. She is, like, the best character.
She is.
And I like Six as well. I love the android character. She's so great.
I feel... Yeah. And not, I'm not going to spoil things, but she continues to get really awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I heard. Six is great. I like how they had the whole gun versus sword conversation in this episode.
Yeah, it felt like they were literally just talking to us.
Like, why? Like, we talked about this last episode, right?
Yeah.
Like, why a sword and not a gun? And then he explains it and then promptly demonstrates it, which is great. Let's see. I didn't write too many notes, so I'm just kind of wanted to just kind of go through them and then
Can I just be like, speaking of Four's voice always surprises me. It's much deeper than I expect, and I don't know why. I have no idea, like, why I'm expecting, like, okay, let's be real here. I'm expecting, like, a Zuko voice, and his voice is so deep. He gives up those
angsty vibes.
Yeah, I think but it's
I
the
don't
angst.
Know if I expected him to sound like Zuko. Like, you expect a sword wielder to have, like, a high-pitched tenor? Like, what is this?
Angst.
Angst is not tenor.
I don't know. It just feels that way.
Okay. Okay, Melissa. Okay.
I can't explain why. I just, every time, like, for, like, 5 episodes, I was surprised every time he talked. I was like, your voice is not what I expect. And then now, like, it's okay, and, like, it suits him and whatever, but, like, it was kind of strange, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's an odd thing to be set off by, but okay.
Well, I mean, I was weirded out by, I think I mentioned this, like, Two's voice was very, like,
oh, like, musical to you?
Yeah, very musical to me. Though, she has a few of those moments, but not, it kind of dips. Like, it
does kind of stop issues. I mean, I like Two, but I also have some issues with Two, which I didn't really bring up in the last episode, but, like, I do want to delve into a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Some other aesthetic stuff, like, the vent that, is it Five she crawls into? Five,
yeah.
Is, like, kind of cool. I dig that weird air vent thing.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh.
Something very classic in climbing through the vents.
I don't know. The vent itself, like, the way it was lit looked really cool. The whole choice, you know, so, like, after they have their battle on the planet and they're tending to the wounded, like, there's, like, they're literally, the injured are placed on these, like, gurneys or whatever that are suspended from the ceiling in chain. That was, like, way too much for me. I was like, what is this, like, I don't know. Beat down sci-fi aesthetic that doesn't, why are the gurneys hanging from chain? Like, in any other situation it'd be like a table, like, practically speaking. Why are they hanging from chains? What is this?
It felt very like factory slaughterhouse to me.
Yeah,
like,
it was
that's
a little
what it had
much
been used
I was like,
for.
I don't, this doesn't feel comforting in terms of like
but
hospital
like
space.
Maybe that like maybe that's what it had been used for and they were converting it. I don't know, it made the area feel kind of, like, used and, like, lived in.
Yeah, I was sorry, I think industrial is the word I'm looking for. Yeah, industrial.
Right, that's the perfect word.
But it was almost, like, too much, you know?
I can see it.
It was almost too much. I was laughing with the interrogation scene that Four had because there's, like, a fog machine going, so there's, like, fog. And so, like, when the sunlight's streaming through the window, it looks, like, super dramatic, but I'm like, when you get to the close-up, there's no fog, I'm like, that's funny. Inconsistencies. I really liked the fight sequence in that factory space. I really enjoyed that. I started hearing those, like, blaring Sherlock horns, if that makes any sense. You've watched Sherlock, because I've showed you that show. You know how when they're running from, like, baddies in Sherlock, and, like, there's, like, a blaring kind of horn noise that's, like, meant to scare you? You may not know what I'm talking about. But there's, like, in my mind,
no
a
idea.
Sherlock horn kind of motif and like that they try to use when there's like scary people running after you, and I definitely heard some like Sherlock horns during the fight scene. I was like, this takes me back to like 2014 or whenever that was. I'm trying to decipher my handwriting.
Off topic, but did you watch the latest season
of Sherlock? Heck no.
Yeah,
I don't
care. Okay, I was just wondering.
I mean, I guess I should, or I could. It wouldn't take that much of my time. But I have better things to do, allegedly, so. Anyway. I wrote bad marksmanship. I know there's a trope name. I gotta look it up. I forgot to look it up after the show. But it's like, you know how in Star Wars, like, the mooks can't shoot?
Yeah.
It's like the same thing. Like, these guys can't shoot.
That's actually something that I noticed throughout the show? Where, like, it's, like, they'll have, like, a few skilled fighters or whatever, but, like, everyone else, like, so easily, like, taken down. And,
I mean,
like,
don't get me wrong.
Even when they have all the advantages.
I understand that, like, oh, this is what it's called. The Imperial Stormtrooper Marksmanship Academy.
Oh my god.
Is the name of the trope. Any troops who cannot learn to hit a man-sized target at 10 meters will be used for target practice. When only the bad guys suffer from... Oh, wait, no, is that the right trope? Maybe it's a different trope. Oh, yeah, no, that's the right trope. So if you go on TV Tropes, it's called Imperial Stormtrooper Marksmanship Academy, which means stormtroopers can't shoot for ish because they are horrible at what they do.
Yeah, there were a few moments, like, where there's, like, clearly they could, like, shoot one of the main characters, and they just don't.
I mean, I understand because that's how they decide to go in with their fist in instead. General anyway, right?
They go in with their fist instead of their gun, and I'm like, don't do it. Oh, don't do it.
God. But it's like, I know in general that's kind of how shows work. I mean, I was showing someone Into the Badlands the other day, and they were like, oh, how convenient that none of them are, you know, trying to attack. How convenient that Sunny's being attacked one at a time.
Right, of course.
But, like, at least there was effort involved. Like, you know what I mean?
No, yeah, I do.
The fights feel too easy.
I found, like, a lot of this was trying to, like, establish, like, how, like, bad and how, like, skilled, like, the main cast are. That's kind of the way that I kind of took it, even though...
You know what was interesting? I did notice a couple things. I was going to make a note, and I don't want to spoil listeners who haven't seen the rest of the show.
So then don't.
But there was, there's a character who wasn't as good at fighting, and I was like, that's odd. And I thought it was a mistake, but it's totally not a mistake. No,
this show is extraordinary with foreshadowing, continually surprising me.
Yeah.
And, like, I was complaining in the first episode about how, like, predictable and, like, not surprising it was or whatever. And I just finished the season finale, and I was, like, super duper surprised. And I was just like, wow, like, slow clap
for you. They showed me.
Yeah, like, you proved me wrong. There's a lot of things throughout the season that, like, I did see coming, but...
I mean, yeah, it is a bit predictable, but...
But, like, you know, it's okay.
It's okay. I thought it was an interesting choice for them to separate the women and the men in this episode.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that, but whatever.
I can definitely say that's not... Like, it doesn't, like, continue. It's not, like, a theme that happens. Yeah. So it's not, like... There must have been some kind of conscious choice involved, but in this case, like, I don't know.
So one thing I note is, you know, we have two things going on, right? We have the woman on the ship doing their thing, and then we have the men on planet, you know, doing fighting and whatever. We get that scene where, you know, Two intercepts one of the head corporation guys to talk to them, and you know, he's like, oh, I'll make you an offer, blah, blah, blah.
And then, make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but, you know. And then so they apparently leave because the men can't get in contact with them. And they're like, oh, the ship's gone. And then, you know, we go back to the fighting and whatever. And suddenly the ship's back. Where did the ship go? I mean, I guess they did explain it. Like, oh, like, they went off to talk to the Mikkei Corporation and then come back. Yeah. But, like, we didn't get any of that from their side. So that was just really off-putting and weird to me.
Yeah, I think that's something that the show seems to do. They withhold information for dramatic tension.
I don't know if I like that. Like, to some degree it works, but, like, it's almost like they're withholding too much.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Like, I liked... To me, it worked because I never forgot about them, and I knew that they would still be coming because I know, you know, that's how shows work.
Right.
You know? And so, like, I knew that they were doing something plot important, but I didn't know what. And so then, like, the reveal at the end is what they were doing. So it worked for me, but, like, I can see why it didn't work for you because, like... A show can be kind of mean-spirited in withholding information, and it tries to drive up tension, but it's almost false tension because they're just choosing what you know and what you don't know.
Yeah, and then part of it too is like, I don't need to and I don't want them to constantly go back and forth switching between, you know, setting A and setting B, but like, a like quick check-in would have been nice, you know, like, because I thought the show writers or the editors or the director forgot what was happening on the other side, you know, like that's how I interpreted the lack of scenes.
No, well, the way that I interpreted it was that something important's going on and they don't want to tell us because they want to keep the tension high.
Yeah, well.
And that's exactly what was going on. Like,
we all knew they were going to come back, so, like, I was just kind of like, well, like,
That's why it worked for me, because I knew they were going to come back, and so, like, the only question is why and how. And so, if you told me that, then I wouldn't, like, I'd just be waiting for that.
That's true.
I mean, I kind of was waiting for that anyway, but whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, I wrote, dialogue is C-H. I don't know if I meant to write cheesy and didn't finish writing the word cheesy. That could be so many things. Writing is C-H. I thought the rain, the quote-unquote rain in episode 2 was a bit much for me. It's like when that girl is like, she's kissing one and then he leaves and it's like raining outside. I'm like, what is this nonsense? Like,
is this a rom-com or is this a show about
space? Can I just tell you, I really hate Juan. Like, I really don't like him. Like, I think the reason I don't, like, there's a couple reasons why, but, like, it's like, they're trying to paint him as this pretty boy, and I just don't buy it. And I also just really dislike his, like, oh, I want to be a hero. Like, shut up, Juan. No one cares. Like, I hate you. Like, I just really dislike one. I really don't like this actor. Based on what I know from episode 1 and 2, I really dislike him.
I have, like, rankings, and definitely one is not up there. He's not my, definitely not my favorite either. But he kind of works in the group dynamic, in my opinion. Like, he's fun to play off of 3. He is a good kind of counterbalance for some of the others. So, like, he plays a purpose in group dynamics. I just don't really like him.
I agree with that. He plays a purpose in group dynamics. I just don't like him as a character.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, I don't find a flaw in, like, his writing or his acting. I just don't care for him, like, there. Like, it's not like, I'm not, like, blaming anyone. It's not like anyone did anything wrong. It's just, he doesn't.
Well, the character exists, so.
What?
Well, the character exists, so.
Yeah. I really like 2. I really like 4.
There are times where I'm just like, about 2, but overall I like her. But just like, some characterization issues that I'm just like, I'm not really feeling this.
In the first, like, 2 episodes, it felt like she was very over-sexualized.
Yeah, I was about to get on that topic, but I guess let's talk about it now, right? So, like, okay, that was, like, too much, yo. So, first of all, she has a whole midriff showing outfit.
Yeah.
And I just hated that stupid, like, I don't know if it's the best way for me to describe it. The whole checking her out music. That it's, like, kind of almost, like, sitcom-y. You know, they had a certain musical theme play whenever she, like, the guys are checking her out in episode 1 or 2, and I was not about that. I was like, this is, like, no. Like, the whole thing with her being, like, even in episode 1, right, when she runs into one, or she, like, opens his door to his room and is like, let's go, like, way overly sexualized, and, like, just all this, it was, like, too much. Like, I was looking up the TV shows page for this, and, she falls under the tropes of Master of the Mixed Message, which I was like, yeah, that happened a lot in that one scene for episode 2. Like, she was like, quit staring at my ass or whatever. But it's like, what? Like, I don't know. But she was just, like, still sauntering off. I was like, this is too much. Like, please stop. Like, you were, like, making eyes at him earlier. Like, please make the pain go away. Like, it's just too much, man.
It works better when, like, that romance aspect, you know, any of that kind of super personal relationship kind of stuff is kind of out of it. It's weird because I remember being very uncomfortable with how sexualized she was in the first two episodes, I believe. And then I realized...
I don't want to be the kind of person to be like, oh, like, because she's a woman character, she can't be sexualized, or because she's a captain, she can't be sexual. I don't want to be like that, but it just felt like...
It just felt very, like, unnecessary. Like, they kept, like... There was a lot of, like, shots of her, like, running and you, her, like, her
she has a very, stomach was like, showing. Yeah, she has, like, the whole, like, hip swaying gait thing going on, which is, like, too much sometimes.
I don't mind when a female character is, like, comfortable in her sexuality, like, at all.
Right.
It's just when the camera has a male gaze, it makes me feel a lot more uncomfortable.
Yeah, I would say that was my issue with it. Like, the whole male gaze aspect was just, like... I get it. She's pretty or hot or whatever. Like, can we move on now? Like, please stop. Please.
Yeah. I will say that, like,
I heard around... she gets better with that department.
Yeah. So. Okay. So, like, I was watching and it was like episode 9 or something. And all of a sudden, I come to the conclusion, oh my goodness, it, like, all of her outfits are covered now. Not like covered, but like, they're not like focusing on her, like, sexualized parts.
Right.
And, like, you know, like, it's not like she's, like, dressing like a monk or a nun or whatever.
Right.
A monk, that'd be interesting. But it's not, like, focusing, like, the camera doesn't have this, like, sexually...
Right.
Offensive gaze anymore.
I mean, I
don't know.
I wonder if it's a shift in the writing or just, like, the writers being better with characterization or... If it's because someone said that was a sign of character development, which, like, I don't know if that's true.
I would not say that. I would say it's just a sign of the, like, the writing and just, like, the direction of the show kind of solidifying.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the fact that the season continues to get better throughout is just them kind of finding their footholds, basically.
Yeah. I made a note of. Maybe this is wrong, because I thought there was something that happened at the end with Four looking at that box or whatever. But I said, what happened to the box and to the girl? Because we know that Five sneaks into Four's room, I think, and finds that box and is messing around with it. And then I don't know, did we ever get back to that? I think we go back to him looking at the box and that is open, right? But
yeah.
I don't think we got to what was inside it, or did
we? I feel like it's kind of ambiguous what's inside, or, like, I was confused what was inside.
That was weird. I like
But again, I'm not the authority on what happens at the end of episode 2.
Right, because you watch the whole thing.
I'm going to finish recording this, and it ends on a cliffhanger, and I have to watch the rest, I have to watch season 2.
And then... I
am digging the show so much. You have no idea. This is filling a void in that
this is
Firefly.
Your Firefly left. Void, man.
It is so good. Okay. Like, I always, like, go on the internet during my lunch break at work. But this week, I was watching this show during my lunch break.
Oh, God. One of the camera movements that I really did like in this episode was the way the camera circled around the android towards the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I was super, like, I really like that. Something about that. When you do it right, it's good. When you do it wrong, it's like Star Wars The Force Awakens. It's too freaking long. When you do it right, in, like, short amounts, it's good stuff. And yeah, that goes back to the fight sequence. I like the way the camera was moving in the fight sequence, because it was almost giving you the illusion of, like, a, like, no cuts or no edits kind of camera movement.
Mm-hmm.
It just looked really good. Cause it wasn't a true one shot, but
right.
Oh, I did the Trump hand thing. No. Anyway,
he didn't invent it, and I've been doing longer than he has, but
he didn't invent it, but he ruined it forever. Anyway. the camera movement in this episode seemed better to me than the previous.
What about the lighting? What did you think about the lighting?
I didn't find it strong feelings last time. I think that's because I was focused more on the plot and more engaged than.
Well, that's a good thing, I think.
Yeah, which is overall a good thing. I still hate one. I hate one so much.
I mean...
I really don't like his character. I mean, 3's a jerk, but at least he's, like... He has his personality.
I can kind of compare the characters to, like, their Firefly counterparts.
Oh my god, yeah.
It's, like, 3 is definitely Jane, right?
Right.
Isn't
Five a mix of people? She's a mix of...
Yeah. I would call her a mix of, like, River and Simon.
Was it Kaylee or something?
Oh, yeah, I could see that too, actually.
Someone online said she was a mix of Kaylee and River, I think.
But, yeah. I mean, I can understand how Six might be a little bit of Simon because, like, the medical thing, but, like, I don't really see it. That's Simon's my favorite character from Firefly, so, like, it's really important who is representing him in Dark Matter. just saying. But...
yeah, I mean, I don't have really any more notes about Dark Matter. I mean, we could talk about the title, because we didn't talk about the title of Dark Matter in the last episode. It kind of... Someone did a breakdown of the title, because I know we usually do title breakdowns.
Yeah.
But typically, we do those for the episode title itself, which these ones are just called episode 1 and 2. But everything is dark, right? It's, like, literally, like, darkly lit. They're in space. And, like, this matter is really, like, a serious matter. So it's, like, dark matter. Not necessarily referring to, like, the actual concept of dark matter. But, yeah. Or, like, they're in the dark, right? Because their minds are white. So that's why it's dark. And then matter, like, brain matter, dark matter. And I was like, oh, I guess that makes some kind of sense.
It makes sense, but I don't, I mean.
Yeah.
And then it's the whole a fine ship, title.
The ship name called like, you know how the ship's called the Raza?
Yeah.
A couple things behind that, like Tabula Raza is like a blank slate. And then
I know
also,
that from Buffy.
What?
Nothing.
What did you say?
The first time I ever heard that, like, Tabula Raza, it was in the context of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh yeah, wasn't it like, isn't there the 20th anniversary just passed or something?
Oh yeah. I believe yesterday.
There was a kid at work who was raving about that. He was about how, like, he mentioned to us, like...
He wasn't even alive then.
What? Wait, what?
He wouldn't be alive then.
This kid is older than me. What are you talking about?
Oh, never mind.
Anyway, and you could still be a Buffy fan after it...
No, I'm just saying, like, the... Like, for me, the anniversary doesn't mean that much because I didn't watch it 20 years ago.
Oh. Well, I don't think he watched it when he was, like, a toddler, so.
That's what I... Whatever. It literally
doesn't
matter.
Anyway. yeah, Tabula Raza. And then there was also, like, the whole Mexican concept of, like... Well, there's a concept called La Raza in Mexican culture, which I want to say something, like, to do with, like, race. Oh, let me just look it up before I get this wrong. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah. So the Spanish term la, or is it la? Whatever. Raza means race in Spanish. And I know... Yeah, there's a whole, like, concept of Mexicans being, like, one mixed race called, let me try to pronounce this correctly, La Raza Cosmica. Or something, because, like, you know, they're, like, they're very, like, genetically mixed and stuff. So, anyway, people are saying, oh, like, that's what Raza is from. It's probably more, like, Tabula Raza than the other concept, but...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. I did not come up with those ideas on my own. I literally read them from offline. I can't remember where. If I knew, I would link to it, but I don't, so... Sorry. Plagiarism!
Hardly.
Anyway, I think that's all the notes I have on the show. I don't know if you want to mention anything outstanding about, or, you know, something that you remember about episode 2.
So, I started episode 1, and it finished and ended on kind of a cliffhanger. And I began episode 2 because I was curious about that, and so I did begin it before we were... I would have watched it to podcast about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept watching. Why? Why did I keep watching? I was on Netflix and it just automatically went to the next one.
No,
and so I watched, like,
that.
I know, but why? I was enjoying it. Like, I was digging it. I wasn't, like, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, I usually watch an episode of something and then I, like, stop and reflect and think. And this time, I literally poured through, I think, 3 or 4 episodes, like, in one sitting. Dang. Probably 3. Like, it was a work night. I don't think I had that much time.
Oh, yeah. I heard Will Wheaton's in this. And I saw a picture of him, and I was like, what? Do you know who Will Wheaton is?
Yes. Sacrilege. But not enough. Yes, I do know who he is, but, like, not, like, enough to, like, pick him out.
He was in Star Trek TNG. He was, like, the most hated character, Wesley Crusher.
I'm sorry, not a Trekkie.
But he played Wesley Crusher, who is the teenage son of the medical officer, or the head medical officer, and everyone hated that character, because he was basically, like, a Gary Stu. Like a teenage Gary Stu, who was like, oh, look at this perfect little 15-year-old who's on a space, spacecraft, and like he was like a perfect genius, and everyone's like, I hate Wesley, he's the worst.
He got better, apparently. Wesley is the worst.
It's just so funny. I know Will Wheaton's like involved in a bunch of different things now, so I'm not surprised that he's still in like sci-fi circles when he did this thing.
But, yeah, he's nerd cred. But yeah, like the show. It's extremely character focused. Mm. Like, yes, there's like,
which I know you love.
It's in space, and yes, there, you know, like there's this other stuff going on. But the other stuff, and I think I kind of hinted at that when we talked about episode one. The other stuff can come, it can go, and like honestly, the other stuff is much better than I expected. Like as I watched, I was like, this is better than I was expecting. But I came for the characters, and I can respect that, and, like, they did not disappoint me.
What do you think of the look of the show? Like, do you feel like it's low budget? Because it is, like, that sci-fi kind of new, not reboot, it's, like, its own thing.
Yeah, like, I think, to me, aesthetically, it works. Mm. It looks kind of like the set. It kind of looks low budget, but they have enough sets that it doesn't feel low budget. Mm. Mm. I don't know if that makes any sense. And yeah, like the special effects are like good enough that I'm not going to be staring at them.
Right, right.
Like, for example, Once Upon a Time has some of the worst CGI I've ever seen.
Oh, no.
And the problem is that, like, they have all these, like, elaborate stories, and they're trying to, like, create really amazing things that require a huge CGI, like, movie budget.
Right.
And, you know, they just can't do it.
Yeah.
No, like, they absolutely can't, and it's just god-awful. It's so... It kills me. I think they've stopped
worse than, like, 2007 Doctor Who? Like, how bad are we talking here? Like, does it stoop to 2000 Doctor Who levels?
Personally, I would say it's worse, but that's... Dang. It was more jarring for me.
Mm. Yeah.
But, then, you know, that is kind of a personal thing. But, like, in this case, it's not so... Dark Matter... clearly doesn't have, like, a huge budget, but, like, it's big enough that, like, they're distributing it well.
Yeah, I see that. I actually thought the special effects were, like, fairly decent. Like, I liked how when 2 is talking to 1 in that, like, kind of conference room area, and, like, there's, like, that pink kind of star behind her, like, that looked kind of cool. And I was, like pleasantly surprised because I expected worse, but it was like, CGI budget, not bad.
I think pleasantly surprised is, like, a good way to describe my feelings on this show, actually.
Yeah, I didn't come in expecting much, and I wasn't really, like, it's not a bad show. I personally don't feel super, like, intrigued by it. But I know for you, that Firefly, like, hole in your heart can be filled by this show.
It's not, like, filled. Like, not that filled. Hole is never going to be filled. But... Like, it maybe has mended a little bit, right. Yeah.
It's a little something to tide you over.
It has a very different feeling compared to Firefly, which wasn't quite as apparent in the first episode, which is, it's much darker, I guess? Dark Matter. True. No, but, like, it takes a more, I wouldn't say gritty, because Firefly never stopped being gritty, but But Firefly always felt like hope to me.
Mm.
And Dark Matter does not feel like hope to me.
I mean, the theme song is so, like, you know, you can't take this out of me. And, like, I don't know. I don't get that vibe from Dark Matter.
No, yeah. It has a different vibe to it.
Yeah.
Like, Firefly had its really, like, dark moments. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But in the end, I always, like, it was, still had an optimistic feel to it. Like, I always felt like it was telling me that everything was going to be okay.
Aww.
And then they had the movie, and then everything was not okay. Aww. But, you know.
Yeah, no.
This one does not feel like that.
I kind of compare the two.
But, like, if you start going, besides, like, the feeling, otherwise, there are a lot, there are tons of similarities.
Right, right. I have to say, I think the way they treat the POC characters is, like, fairly good. I feel like 4 is a bit stereotypical, but, like, other than him, like, I guess it's fine. Like,
yeah. I love that 2 is, like, in charge.
Oh, yeah. I also loved her little monologue to 1 about, like, why she's in charge. She's like, who made you in charge? And she's like, because I stepped up because no one else did, and that's why I'm in charge, and no one's challenged me. And I was like, that's right, 2. That is right. You tell that boy. You tell that boy. I hate 1 so much.
You really don't like 1.
I really don't like 1. But, yeah, no, 2, I love 2's little monologue there.
No, yeah, I love that she's, like, you just don't see stuff like that.
Yeah, but what I feel like undermines it is the whole, like, oh, then she's, like, weirdly flirty with 1, and, like, it just kind of ruins it for me.
That yeah. definitely stops. I mean, not Thank the, God. I wouldn't say the, there is some kind of weird romance thing.
I don't know. I don't feel it, though. I just don't feel like they don't have the chemistry. You know what I mean? Like, the yeah. actors or, like, what, the chemistry is just not there, so I don't ship it. I really don't, like.
I don't ship anyone with 2, really. I ship yeah, 2
I don't
with
think I would ship, yeah, 2. I mean, there's also that 2. 2. But, sorry, that was a really bad pun. I don't really ship anyone in the main crew with anyone, but.
Yeah, but that's not what the show should be about.
No, I'm not saying that's what the show should be about, but, like, I don't know. It just feels kind of the weird romance or relationship or whatever. It just feels awkward.
Yeah.
Between 1 and 2. So, like, whenever they try to shoehorn it back in, I'm just like, please make it stop.
Yeah, it does. They don't give up on it.
What? They don't what?
They don't give up on it.
You mean the writers in season 1 don't give up on the romance angle?
Like, it gets changed. It okay. continues to evolve, and so, like, it's becomes slightly more tolerable, but it's not like I ever ship it. Let's just say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. I just feel like that it just works better for everything to be Jen, as they say.
yes, as they say.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything more to talk about on this topic, and I'm really struggling here, and I don't want this to be, like, the shortest episode ever. Like, I want to at least get to that 1 hour mark, yo.
We don't need to stretch out just for
I don't. I just feel giggles, like it's getting the short shrift.
You know, it's funny because, like, I was comparing this show to, like, some of the other shows that we've covered sure. on this podcast before, like Into the Badlands and Sense8, and we've been relatively lucky in that the shows that we've chosen have been there have been a lot of things to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of, like, symbolism and a lot of, like, really the kind of deep questions and intrigue and whatever. And, like, I really, really enjoyed this show. Don't get me wrong. But there really isn't that
it's
much
not,
to talk about.
Like, deep or not, like, layered. Like, some of the other
well,
things that we've discussed.
They bring up, like, interesting questions. Like, you know, right. like, are people born evil? Like, that's a really interesting question. They continue to play with it.
Sure.
But that's not something that, like, we can, I mean, we can talk about it, but, like, we can't talk about it every week. Like, so I'm glad we're only doing the first 2 episodes, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think people are born evil, Maggie?
I actually have thought about that. do I think people are born evil? No. I think it's the whole, you know, environment plus your personality type deal, which is not particularly controversial, but whatever. Like, you have your base personality, yeah. right? Which, like, might shift, but it's probably not going to shift that much. And then the environment that you grow up in is going to have a big impact on mm-hmm. on you as well. I feel like environment more so than personality, but like I don't know how I could say like ratios of how much impact one has, or like, you know, mm-hmm. what do you think? Do you think people are born evil, Melissa?
I would say this is kind of maybe a cheating answer. I think some people are born with a predisposition to evil, but I don't think they're born evil.
Yeah.
That you can have like a predisposition where you have certain like character traits.
Sure.
I mean, I was just talking about this with somebody because like they were talking about how like the two siblings were raised exactly the same, and one like is totally down to earth, and one of them is like just kind of like airhead.
Okay.
I'm trying to be nice, but Spacey? I can't be.
Spacey?
Yeah, that'll work, like, too. But, like, just basically the two siblings are extremely different. And, you know, both of them were raised exactly the same, pretty close in age. And, you know,
see,
like...
I think that's where personality comes in, you know?
Right. There is some kind of personality thing. So I think people can have a predisposition to acting, like, certain ways. The environment definitely plays a factor. And, like, if you have, like, a person who... in a certain environment would have like become evil is like in a better environment, then like they might like have undesirable character traits, but they wouldn't be like evil, you know what right. I mean?
I've always had a problem with people saying that like, oh, so and so is evil. Like, I think for most people, like, for example, Hitler's evil or whatever. I don't think he thought himself as evil, you know what I mean? Like,
well, no, evil people don't know they're evil.
That's what I mean. Like, I mean, I guess there's some people who might have awareness or what, but like most people don't think of themselves as evil. So I just kind of think that's like fundamentally flawed to think of people as evil. And then also like what is evil anyway? And the whole thing of it's like, oh, like I'm sure Hitler did like some good things in his life. So like, is he really 100% evil? Like, how do you even define that? You know what I mean? Like, that's why I never really bought the whole, oh, this person is good or this person is evil. Like, what does that even mean? Like, how do we define that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I do
see that. I mean, he's a horrible person who did horrible, despicable things. But, like how would you define, you know, like, that's what I mean. Like, I don't really know if we can quantify
evil. I'm going to take this away from Hitler, and I'm going to bring it to, I read the newspaper a lot. And one of my favorite newspapers is the New York Daily News.
Is that the one that's, like, really tabloidy, or that's... No. Is that a different one?
No, it's a different one.
Okay.
I mean, you might be thinking of The Post.
Yeah, I think that's the one I'm thinking about. Yeah.
No, I like the Daily News, and it's... Like, it has some, like, good stuff in it, whatever. But they also have the goriest, grossest stories, like, that would just... It turns my stomach, man. And
are you sure they're not tabloid material?
No, I mean, like, these are, like, legitimate things that happened. Like...
Right, but, like, I feel like the style of which they write can also impact, even if there are real things that happened. But anyway, going on.
I mean, like, they are news things, they're just things I just... They pick pretty gritty stories sometimes. Like, it not... And, like, I read those, and I'm like, who could have done these things?
Right.
Especially when you hurt animals. Like, don't do that. Oh, please don't do that. Like...
I think as a kid, I used to, like... be horrible to like bugs and stuff, but
bugs are fine. Anything larger than bugs, not fine. Mice, yeah, no, mice are off the table too. No, but the point is that like I see evil acts, and you have to like confront evil acts. Not like I have to like confront them, but you know, like you have to deal with the repercussions and like deal with like how it makes you feel, not like the actual repercussions. I'm just going in circles here, but like,
no, yeah, I mean, like, I feel like in some ways though, like I know we're kind of rambling about this topic of evil and whatever, but like I think evil can also be very insidious too, and that's almost worse. Like, if we're talking about institutionalized X, Y, and Z, right?
Like, right, of course,
that's like very insidious, hard to remove, and I think that's even though it's more, it might be more subtle, like, say, institutionalized, like, racism or homophobia or whatever is like, pretty awful and the effects of it are pretty awful.
You know? Well, I would call that environment. I would call that, you know, nurture.
Yeah.
So, like, I think you can kind of boil it down, nature versus nurture. I mean, that's what people always argue about. But, I would call, like, the... All that stuff fall under nurture kind of stuff. Obviously, it's not, like,
the parents. Yeah, environment is pretty powerful.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, that was pretty...
That was way too deep.
Voice. Dark matter!
That was too deep, man.
Anyway. how do you feel like they treated the POC characters? Since I thought they were pretty good, except for, like, 4 might be a little bit stereotypical, but, you know.
I can see why you have issues with 4. I love 4. He is my favorite character.
Yeah.
But I can see why he could be construed as an amalgamation of, like, Asian culture. That is kind of...
It just seems reductive to me, so...
Yeah.
But then Firefly didn't really do super hot in that department either.
So. Well, yeah, I mean, relative to Firefly... Well, actually... Relative to Firefly, like, in terms of Asian representation?
Yeah. I mean, like, hold up. First of all, Dark Matter already wins because we actually have Asians in Dark Matter.
Right, that's what I was going to say. But I will say that Firefly is much better at placing the kind of Asian elements, like, buried within everyone's culture.
Right.
In this case, in Dark Matter, it feels like it's just very, I don't understand how, like, the 4 aspect interacts with anything else. it's just there.
It seems so out of left field. Like, why is there this Asian world and then, or, like, empire or whatever, and then, like, what, there's other random, I guess, presumably English-speaking culture, like, what
the
is
The only
this?
Other, like, country we've heard of is, like, the galactic whatever.
Yeah.
It feels like sometimes, well, not sometimes.
The
world building is a little off.
It leaves a lot to be desired.
Right. The world building is kind of funky. Inconsistent.
Yeah.
And it just feels very, like, superfluous.
We just plopped in the middle of this and I have no context for. I mean, we have some context, but it just seems like there's very little. Context, world building, whatever have you.
And it's not like, it doesn't get much better. Like, it, you don't, I'm just saying, like, the story is about these characters, and it happens to be in space.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's good. I'm not saying, that, like, I want that. I'm just saying, like, that seems to be the approach that they took.
It's interesting. I'm just thinking about how you, like, the qualities that you like in a show, the qualities that I liked in the show, and I think I'm starting to kind of realize that, like, for me, world building is kind of up there.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, what I value in a show, so, I mean, and it can be bad, too, but, like, Badlands. Like, oh, Lord, Into the Badlands. I mean, Lord knows they tried with the world building. Lord knows they tried. I mean, was it great? Like, no. Did it miss the mark a lot of times? Yeah, but, like, at least it was something, you know? Like, at least there was something going on there, even if it was, like, ridiculously anachronistic and, like, crazy. Like,
see, it's funny, because, like...
It's fun.
Well, yeah, but, like, when I compare, like, world building, I actually prefer the world building in Dark Matter, because even though there isn't a lot of it,
and... makes sense.
Well, it makes a lot more sense than Into the Badlands. I'm not saying it always makes sense.
You're absolutely right.
I prefer that because even, like, we get just little tastes of the outside world, and I don't have enough to, like, paint a picture of what this universe looks like, but it's enough that I'm not confused as much. Like, Badlands made no sense as points.
Oh, no, it didn't. But I'm thinking many about, points. Like, stuff that I liked, right? Like, so I talked in the past about how I enjoy Star Trek and Children of Men and Attack the Block, and very much those environments and the atmosphere are a big part of those
I can
shows,
see that, yeah.
You know, like, Children of Men, that, like, kind of nihilistic, like, post-apocalyptic type deal. It wasn't really apocalypse, I guess, but, you know, it's just so like, that depressive kind of urban environment.
Yeah.
Was great. And then, like, the environment for Attack the Block is a huge part of the film, that mm-hmm. that block, you know?
Yeah.
It's just very gritty and whatever. And then Star Trek. I mean, Star Trek. It's just...
Star Trek.
It's a beautiful, brilliant, extremely white and blinding future.
Yes.
With the very, like, it's Star Trek, dude. Like, that world has existed since the 60s, right? And it just gets, like, more and more ridiculous as time passes. But, like, I don't know. A lot of world building there, too. So, I just wasn't getting that with this show, and I think that's part of it.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
We definitely do look for different things in our shows. I mean, for me, characters are everything, and...
Oh, no, I want good characters, too.
No, but, like, for me, characters are everything. Like, yeah. Everything.
Whereas I'm noticing, like, weird lighting and weird colors and, like, weird stuff. You know, someone made a comment about, how crazy it is that, like, all these starships have concrete floors. Like, that makes sense. And I was like, touche. I didn't notice that, but they got a point. Why yeah. are these floors concrete instead of metal?
Because, I mean, practically it makes sense, but...
Because, like, realistically, you're not going to have concrete on a ship. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
No, man. But...
Yeah.
This whole discussion just kind of... Not the concrete, but the discussion before that. I don't know what to say to that, but...
Is this true? That's weird.
Yeah, I won't be able to unthink that, so thanks. It reminds me, like, I was trying to figure out why I liked certain shows, and so I had a whole ranking system with, like,
You had another spreadsheet for this?
Yeah, I had a spreadsheet.
Oh my
with
God.
Different categories, like characters and, like, whatever. And, like, this was specifically just for romance things. And I realized
that... Is this a spreadsheet that I'm thinking about?
Yes. Oh, and... I'm the biggest nerd. Like, I don't even know how to explain that to people.
What do you mean, what? Past tense?
Well, I don't maintain the spreadsheets. So that's something.
Girl, you're still a humongous nerd.
The reason I started it is because I wanted to see what factor, like the villain, the characters, whatever, would be the best predictor of whether I liked the show.
Nerd.
I was curious. I was interested in this. And I found that, like, these are specifically romance shows. It was how much I wanted the main characters to get together romantically was the best predictor of whether I liked the show or not. Even when all the other things were, like, crappy, if I thought those characters belonged together, I would see that show through.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never sat down to make a spreadsheet of the shows that I like or dislike. I feel like it's
most people haven't.
Most people have minority there, Melissa. But I think it's a matter of it's definitely engagement. I don't know what kind of metric it would be applied to, but like, yeah, I just don't feel as engaged with this show as I do with mm-hmm. my other shows. Whether that's to do with how it grabs me emotionally or whatnot, I have no idea because I never sat down and made an Excel file for it, but.
That may have been one of the nerdiest things I've ever done.
No, I think the time that you ran down that hill.
That's a whole other story.
I think that's pretty nerdy.
That's a...
Oh, man.
Well, we do have a few minutes. Would you like to hear the Narnia story?
Tell the Narnia story. I think it's not... And then we'll take it out. Take it out to the outro.
Okay. So this is one of the nerdiest things I've ever done. So back in the old days when I was a senior in high school, so not that long ago.
Well, that was a while ago.
I mean, it was a while ago, but I was so much older than I should have been in this story. I was, I was hanging out with my cousins and my sister, and we were going to go get ice cream, and we were walking back to my cousin's house, and we were in a bit of a hurry, because, like, my parents had wanted to leave and whatever. And we, like, my cousins live at the bottom of this hill. So, like, the street slopes downward to get to their house, and their house is at the bottom. And, like, You know, in the movie, like the first Chronicles of Narnia movie, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there's like this battle scene at the end, and they yell, "For Narnia!" And they lift up their arms and they run down that hill as fast as they can in, to start the battle. Well, that's what my cousin said. She said, "For Narnia!" And me and her ran down that hill faster than you can imagine. And guess who caught her foot? And like the road dipped down a little bit. And I caught my foot in like the dip in the road. I went flying, landed, and sprained my ankle.
Oh, no.
It was, my ankle was freaking enormous. No. And the best part of this story, besides the fact that I got hurt running for Narnia, is the fact that I was a senior in high school. This was May, and I went to prom and graduation with a boot on my foot because I ran for Narnia. So that is my Narnia story.
This episode's gonna be. Oh man, that was one of the first stories I think you told me about yourself when I first met you.
It sums me up pretty well. I'm not very athletic. I'm a huge nerd. Like, and that's it.
You are one of the smartest people I know, Melissa, so.
Aw, thanks.
No, yeah. Anyway, if you enjoy our show and you enjoy our chats about running down hills screaming, "For Narnia!"
Well, that was the only time I did that.
I want to hear us ramble on more and more. Please support us by rating our show on iTunes. If you like us, give us 5 stars. It would really help us out in terms of getting more people to discover the show, listen to our show. It's actually really interesting. I looked at the stats on this show. Most people find us through Twitter, which I find very interesting.
That is interesting.
So that's cool. I don't really
cool. Shout out to the tweeters.
Like, engage with people on Twitter. I'm like not super. I'm not an expert on Twitter, but
I'm trying to get better.
Yeah, feel free to hit us up on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook and Tumblr. And you can also email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. And I guess that's it for the show. So we will talk to you again next week. I think, are we doing Badlands next week?
What?
I think we are. Wait, let me check my schedule. It's been such a long time. Back to our roots, man. And is next week our 1-year anniversary? Oh my gosh, so exciting. Let's see.
This is and we return to where it all started. It's so beautiful.
Into the Badlands. Let's see.
I'm going to bet that the next episode, like the first episode of the second season is going
to
be
We are not returning to Into the Badlands next week because we are doing a movie.
The week after.
Remember?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because we did TV. Now we're gonna go back to a movie, and then the week after that, we're going to go back into the Badlands.
Okay, Maggie.
That should be up for a little bit. So next week we're gonna be covering Big Hero 6, and it will technically be the day before our anniversary, March 19th.
Whatever, man.
So whatever, it's our anniversary. We will be covering Big Hero 6, and then. After our anniversary, we'll go back to Into the Badlands.
Very exciting.
I can't even believe we made it to, like, 1 year, man. That's craziness. I feel like most podcasts only get to 1 year. So, like, props to us. High five.
High five. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll be back next week with Big Hero 6. A nice, fun, light film. And then Hallelujah. It's back to Into the Badlands. Yeah.
We're going to have so much to discuss for that episode. It's going to be crazy.
For Badlands or for Big Hero 6?
Yeah. No. Both. I mean, like, I love Big Hero 6, don't get me wrong. Like, I love that movie so much. But I bet, like, the first episode of Badlands is going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be great. I mean, I think technically
it's gonna
it comes
be a
out.
Time.
I think it technically comes out on March 19 or maybe, like, a couple days before that. But we need some time because I don't have a TV anymore, so I gotta find that episode somewhere.
Some.
But I know we will be doing Big Hero 6 next, and then after that, back to Badlands. So if y'all have been waiting for Badlands to come back and for us to talk about it, well, you're in luck, because we're going to be covering it in 2 weeks.
And if you hate it, you're not in luck, sorry.
Well, again, we'll switch in between Badlands and some other movies and TV shows. I think some other things we're going to be covering in the future are I Am Legend, Heroes, the first episode of Heroes, the first episode of Firefly, which we talked about a lot in the past couple of Dark Matter episodes. But yes, please send us your recommendations for movies for us to check out. And we'll see you, or, well, whatever, talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.